It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple drops the price of new iPhone batteries after slowing down iPhones. New bugs Spectre and Meltdown are affecting Apple devices, but not the watch. ICU and hospitals is causing spontaneous reboots of Apple Watch Series 3. True wireless charging, advanced heart monitoring, and great tips for new Apple Watch owners, plus a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 221, recorded Saturday, January 6, 2018. It's not a feature, it's a bug.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. How's the New Year treating you so far?
It's cold.
Yeah, it's cold for everybody, isn't it?
Trying to freeze us out of the planet.
Speaking of being in a cold place, also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Vincent. Happy New Year as well. And yes, 9 degrees this morning in Tennessee.
Wow. Single digits.
Single digits.
Yeah. We always joke in our family. We always watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that movie. You remember that movie with Steve Martin? And at one point, they're driving in the back open pickup truck. Super cold weather. And he goes, what do you think the temperature is? And he says, one. I always think of super cold. How are you surviving the Arctic blast?
It's okay. I mean, we know it's not like living in the Northeast where you got it for two more months. It's next week it'll be in the 60s. So we're just going to get through it.
Yeah. People up north are probably laughing at us complaining about the temperatures. But I'll tell you, it is kind of rare. At least around here, that you get temps below freezing for like a full week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things here aren't built for that like they are up north. I mean, we have exposed pipes on the outside of the house that have to be wrapped or they're going to burst, you know, when it thaws. We've got plants that need to be taken care of or they'll die. They need to be covered. You know, it's more annoying than anything, but.
It kills all the mosquitoes.
It does have an upside. But here, you know, it got down to like 19, I think.
Oh my gosh. Right. That's crazy for you guys.
For Houston, that's pretty cold. You know, you get some ice. I had a few little icicles hanging off the garage. That was kind of weird.
Wow.
Well, I just Googled for some friends that, you know, I was joking about where I grew up in Ohio. And I Googled average temperature January 1978 when I was a little kid walking to school.
Right.
You know what the average temperature was in Cleveland, Ohio in January 1978? The average high was 29 degrees for the whole month.
Oh, wow.
So that I remember I was just a little kid and you had to walk to school. In those days, your parents are like, yeah, you can walk to school today. I'm like, no, it's 5 degrees out. Today, you know, you'd get a ride to and from school and everything's cool and it's all good to go. Back then, man, not so much.
Well, it's like, what is that old joke? You know, you started an old joke about how you used to walk to school, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uphill both ways.
Yes. Yeah. In the freezing cold with no jacket and no shoes.
And no Apple Watch. Exactly.
No devices.
No devices at all. Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, I think we're back up in the 60s today. I think it's over, at least for the moment.
Yeah, back and forth.
We were trying to do a live show again today. Just to let everyone know, I'm a little distracted because I'm trying to set this up again. It wasn't working. So we tried to do it live, and every time I do this, it just it never kicks in, and I don't know why it's not working. So frustrating.
Facebook doesn't want to cooperate.
It does not. And, you know, it's what is the definition of madness, right? I keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
True.
Well, in this case, I'm doing the same thing and I expect the same result, but I'm not getting it. So anyway, we may go live at some point during the show. Probably not. Anyway, even if it did work out, wouldn't be able to do it again until probably sometime in February because I need all this equipment here at home, right. And until I figure out how to miniaturize it and take it with me on the road, we won't be able to do it live when I'm on the road. And I'll be on the, we're going to do some mobile shows here coming up. The next, I think, three maybe episodes will be that way.
Wow.
So,
cool.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was kind of nice when we did a little test last time because people got to ask questions and do whatever. That'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, it worked out nice last time. Like I said, before we started, a couple of friends texted me and said, hey, I heard you guys.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
Man, I just wish this was working. I don't understand why. It just keeps blinking, starting live audio, and it doesn't start.
I think I'm going to call it Tech Sanity.
Okay. Well, in any case, anyway, there's a lot of stuff going on. We were kind of off the air here for a couple of weeks with the holidays. A lot of interesting things going on. Is there anything else you want to mention up front before we dive into what's happening in the world of Apple Watch?
A lot of new Apple Watch users for all the folks that got some over Christmas. So
yes, welcome.
That'd be really cool. You're welcome.
If you just discovered the show, welcome. And yeah, this is, you know, I always forget about that as over the holidays, we probably have, you know, I don't know. How many do you think Apple sold over the holidays?
That's a good question.
I mean, they pushed it pretty hard. Know. Well, they pushed it pretty hard though. They had the whole series of commercials that they were doing and you could get pretty good deals on some of them. So,
you know. You would think the number had two commas in it, right? Just not sure how big of a number.
Yeah. So a lot of new potential listeners out there and new owners. So, all right. Well, lots to talk about. So here we go.
The Apple Watchcast News.
All right. Time for the news and a couple of things going on. Probably the biggest story doesn't necessarily involve the Apple Watch, but I thought we'd at least touch on it here, and that has to do with Apple and iPhone batteries, specifically battery replacement. There's been an issue that Apple has admitted to slowing down your phone under certain conditions to save the battery, and weren't very upfront about it, and people were a little upset. So as a way of apologizing, Apple has dropped the price of their iPhone battery replacement by $50. So now you can get it done for, I think, $29. It used to be $79. You get a brand new battery put in your phone. So, and this is the quote. This is a quote from Apple. They say, we've been hearing feedback from our customers about the way we handle performance for iPhones with older batteries and how we have communicated that process. We know that some of you feel Apple has let you down. We apologize. There's been a lot of misunderstanding about this issue, so we would like to clarify and let you know about some of the changes we're making. So one of the ways they're apologizing is by this price drop. Now, the price drop was supposed to be from late this month, January, through the end of the year. But I think it's already in effect. I think they actually did it earlier than they mentioned. You can get it done right now. And this is out of warranty, by the way. Doesn't matter if it's under warranty or not. They will replace it. And what's interesting is that other places are now matching that price or having to.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah. So like iFixit and places like that, I think you can still you can get it done for the same cost, even if you want to do it yourself. So what has happened here is early last year. Yeah, it is last year. I keep forgetting it's 2018 now. Early last year, they came out with an update to the OS, which for older model phones, we're talking iPhone 6, 6S, 7, 7S, and the SE, And what it did, the software would kind of check out your battery, see what the kind of the health of the battery was, how far it had been degraded over time. And if it reached a certain criteria, it would slow down certain processes on your phone. And the reason they did that was to prevent your phone from just suddenly shutting down, which is what will happen if they didn't slow it down. Because there's certain spikes, I guess, in usage where your phone may have 40% battery and all of a sudden it's just dead. I mean, not like you have to plug in the cable and wait forever for it to wake up and charge dead. And to prevent that, because that was a bad user experience, they decided to manage some of those systems so your phone didn't do that. And nobody really knew this until, I think, near the end of the year, someone said that they replaced their battery on their old phone and suddenly it was super fast. So somebody started doing benchmarks and they figured out what was going on, and then Apple admitted it. That's what they did. Yeah.
On the National News, Tom, I think it was like a teenager that figured it out. Yeah. At least that's what they reported on the news.
Right. So basically what we're dealing with here is physics, right? I mean, batteries, it's a chemical reaction thing, these lithium ion batteries. It happens with every device. It's not just Apple. And what's interesting is other devices, you talk about Android and, you know, Samsung and all those phones, they have the same problem, but they don't manage the battery. They just let it die. Mm-hmm. So right. Same thing happens to them. They're just not trying to do anything about it. I guess Apple's biggest mistake here was not being as transparent about it. I mean, they did say that if you look at the release of the OS update, it said that it was had a battery management issue, but they didn't say what they were doing. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's where the problem came in.
We got to think about it. There's some genius Apple engineer that came up with this and said, you know, this is how we extend the life of all these old devices. And it was just kind of put in as a feature, and now it's a bug.
Exactly.
It's a reverse.
Reverse, not a feature. Yeah. It's a bug. Okay.
And you've got the conspiracy theorists, right? That say, oh, they did it so you buy a new phone. If you look at some of the message boards, which I don't ever do, but for this issue, I did. I just wanted to see what the people were saying. And about 50% said Apple sucks and I'm never buying another product. They wanted me to buy a new phone. And the other 50% said physics and went through the same kind of things you just went through, Tom. So it was very interesting to see the what people were commenting about.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing, okay? But people, I guess we're so close to it, right? Apple, we love Apple products. We've been doing this for years and years and years. So we understand kind of how Apple, the company as a culture, works. They don't need to do anything to get you to upgrade your phone.
Exactly.
They don't need to. You're going to anyway. So that's just silly to say that they were doing that on purpose. There's absolutely no need for it. This, I think, is just one of those cases where doing the right thing got them in trouble. Sure. You know, no good deed goes unpunished, right?
They could let the batteries die and people would probably still complain, but it still wouldn't be the same conspiracy issue.
Right. And that's what they were doing. People were complaining about their phones dying.
Yeah.
So this is how they fixed it, you know. Now, I'll tell you my personal story of this is I had, as everybody knows, an iPhone. I had a 6 and I complained about speed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I was running the beta software. It was not because of the battery. But in any case, my daughter has the same phone. She has an iPhone 6. And when she was here for the holidays, when this story broke, I'm like, she was complaining about battery life. So I downloaded an app on her phone and ran this test, and her battery was like 38%.
Wow.
I mean, super low and that's why she was having issues. And I checked my old iPhone 6 and it said like 84-85%. And I'm like, I tell you what, why don't we just switch here? You know, why don't we just switch phones? I'll load all your stuff on mine and you'll suddenly have a better battery, which is what we did. And then we find out, well, we can probably get it replaced. At some point, if she wants to keep that phone and not upgrade, for $29, she can get a brand new battery. Even at 8, it doesn't. That's the other thing, by the way. They're not going to run a test on your phone. Mm-hmm. If you bring it in, they will just replace it. no questions asked because of this issue. So doesn't matter what the percentage is. And I think the threshold for all of that kicking in was like 80% is what I've heard. That's what I've heard. I'm not sure if that's true or not. So even at that, my old phone probably wasn't being slowed down. But hers definitely was.
Why do you think they just didn't make it for free? Because the other people that do this didn't have to do it for free as well?
Probably they would have gotten a lot of flack for that, I think, for hurting other businesses.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Right. But one other thing, the key point here is that it doesn't affect other Apple devices, right?
I mean, correct.
On the iPad, iPod, Mac, mm-hmm. Apple Watch, Apple TV.
iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, and iPhone 10 mm-hmm. are not affected.
Right.
As are the older phones, the 5, the 5, you know, the 4, the original iPhone. None of those are affected as well because they cannot run this particular version of the software that did this. So those phones will simply die when they die. like the Samsungs and the others out there. The watch is not affected whatsoever by that issue. I can't imagine that, though. They slow down your watch.
Yeah, they don't. Probably haven't.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it'd be possible if to do some sort of battery management, right?
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's already kind of slow already. So
I was kind of thinking that in the back of my mind, but I don't want to say it. I mean, I don't really think there's a need to slow it down or the battery degradation over time hasn't been an issue. So I don't think it would happen, but you never know, I guess.
And nobody's really complained about battery life on the watches, right? Most people are pretty happy with how much battery life they get every day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It hasn't really been an issue. Anyway, that was a big, big story. That happened this past week. And then the other thing that happened just like yesterday, I think, is something called Spectre and Meltdown. And it sounds like two new Bond films coming out, Spectre and Meltdown. actually sounds like a Bond film and a Marvel film.
Or the recent storm that went up the East Coast because you got to rename everything every year to make it kind of cool.
That's right. What is it now? It's a bomb?
That's some tornado bomb or something. I forget.
Right. Yeah. Well, what happened here, and this is very interesting, apparently there's a bug, and there's two different ones. One's called Meltdown. One's called Spectre. They affect ARM and Intel processors, of which there are billions of them out there with a B. Billions. And Apple has stated that all Mac systems and iOS devices are affected by this vulnerability. However, there are no known exploits currently out there. Okay. And they say that it's the only way to exploit it is to get, it requires a malicious app to be loaded on your device. Therefore, they recommend you only download software from like the App Store. And they've already kind of taken steps to mitigate this. I think iOS 11.2, macOS 10.13.2. Man, it's hard to keep track of these. And tvOS 11.2 helped defend against the Meltdown version of it. And apparently the Spectre version is more of a browser issue. So Safari will be updated shortly. So the whole point is you're probably okay, but go ahead and do any updates that Apple comes out with in the next several weeks.
Yeah.
Just to make sure. And by the way, the watch is not affected whatsoever.
Apparently, it has a different chip, right?
Yeah, completely different chip. So that's good news for our listeners. Don't worry about your watch, but we all know you have a phone too, so you do need to do this. Because it will affect your phone. Again, it's just another instance where you got to keep up with the updates. Very, very important. So we'll keep you kind of posted on what happens there. And now, speaking of issues with your device, this is interesting. Some Apple Watch users are reported unexpected reboots. It's like suddenly their watch will reboot and it might be caused by ICU equipment in hospitals. Now, this only affects the Apple Watch Series 3.
Oh.
Okay, and that's with or without cellular. There's reports of both. So what's happening is apparently people who are near some of these systems in hospitals, their phone will reboot every 60 to 90 minutes.
Really?
And the only way to stop it is to put it into airplane mode, which kind of makes it useless at that point. So something's going on with interference. And if you look at, and this is according to, where are we? 9to5Mac. According to this, they're saying that Apple details in their Apple Watch user guide that interference with medical devices is expected. Apple says that pacemaker, defibrillator, or any other medical device could be affected by the Apple Watch, the components and radios that emit electronic fields, although it does not say that the Apple Watch itself would be affected. Mm-hmm. They're saying about other things. And
right.
So, models prior to the Series 3 are not affected by this so far that we've seen. So I was thinking, and nobody knows for sure what's going on here, but I had a thought. I remember from the keynote, doesn't the Series 3 have a brand new full screen antenna system?
Right.
It does. Yeah.
That's different. That's mm-hmm. the only hardware difference I know of between that and the Series 2. Other than the cellular, but it's happening with just the one with GPS too, right?
It's so picking up signals of the equipment in the ICU, then
yeah,
in the screen.
The screen's allowing maybe it's too transparent. I don't know, too much of an antenna. I don't know what's going on, but I bet that's the issue, which they're not going to be able to really fix with software, are they?
Well, it's interesting that it happens regularly in that time period of 60 to 90 minutes. So it's not continuous, doesn't just happen once.
Right.
So what makes it do that? Is there some piece of equipment in the ICU that pings every 60 to 90 minutes that your watch is catching?
Yeah, man, you'd have to do a lot of testing.
Yeah, you would.
To figure this out. And I bet they're scrambling right now to do this. Now, I don't think that it's happened to a lot of people. I mean, think about it. How often are you near this equipment unless you work there?
Right.
I say, what about the doctors and the nurses? Maybe that's the majority of the
people.
And most of the time when you go into the ICU, you don't have a watch on.
I would guess. Probably a good idea not to bring in any electronics, right?
Yeah.
To that sort of situation. But, I don't know how many people have actually reported this so far. I think over a dozen, at least over 12.
Well, at least it doesn't reboot the ICU equipment.
It doesn't. It doesn't what? What was that, Vincent?
Reboot the ICU equipment.
No, that would be bad.
Yeah, you don't want to go the other way around, do you?
No. Of all the problems, I think this would be the one you'd want to have.
That'd be on the national news in a second.
Right, but I honestly think it has something to do with that antenna. The screen.
I can see that.
That's new, and I haven't read in any articles here. About this story, no one has mentioned that yet.
Right, because if airplane mode turns off all the antennas, then...
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Right. So, anyway, if you're near an ICU, take your watch off, because, first of all, you don't want to cause any interference, and second of all, it's just going to be annoying to have it reboot constantly.
Don't tell me you have to turn the Apple Watch off on a plane now, too. I guess you do already. You do put it on airplane mode.
You put it in airplane mode, you're fine.
Yeah.
They just started letting us... keep our devices on for takeoff and landing. We don't need to change that.
Exactly. You just got to put them in a certain mode, right? You can keep it. You can keep watching
your
movie.
Put them in airplane mode.
Keep watching your movie on your phone or iPad. But okay. And then this is, I'm kind of bummed on this article. This is from Apple Insider. They're saying Apple's non-invasive glucose reader may be years away, if ever. So this, this is from Apple Insider, but they're quoting someone from the New York Times, which says that industry experts consulted by the paper suggest that Apple and other companies are likely years away from a commercial product. This is a harder thing to do than first thought. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing goes back to the point, and I've mentioned this before, when Steve Jobs was sick, he could not stand, because by the way, not just the cancer, but he also had diabetes. I don't know if people remember that. So he constantly had to prick his finger for blood for the testing, and he hated that. So back then, got started a research project. Okay, and it's been going on ever since. That's how long. So that's 2010. It's been going on for going on eight years now, and they've not been able to crack this yet. Which makes it sound like this may be something that's not possible, given this
without blood. Yeah.
Well, not even
accuracy
that.
Around that.
Accuracy, but also, I think the size of the device. Mm-hmm. I think it can be done. You just would. I mean, it'd be like carrying a laptop on your wrist. I don't know. That's kind of depressing to hear, because I was really looking forward to something like that.
Well, let's beat diabetes first with exercise.
That's true.
And everything else, and then
exactly
you can still do that. But how cool would it be to just monitor your sugar level?
Yeah.
Just to know, am I getting close to being in trouble? Right. That you could just find that out on your watch would be amazing.
Well, years away can be 2 or can be 20, but I would assume that Apple is working on it. They're going to continue the research, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2 versus 20.
Yeah. I think why I'm so disappointed was like within a year or less, maybe even when it was first launched, there was rumors of this. Mm-hmm. And now I know why. It's because they were working on it as a research project. So some of that filtered out into the into the world, and I guess everybody, the media and all of us, assumed that that was going to be in a future version of the watch. Because wasn't the rumor that that was actually one of the sensors in the watch at launch?
Yeah, we talked about it a couple times, I think.
Yeah, and that they hadn't turned it on. Well, no, they don't have it.
Not so much, yeah.
Not so much. It's not there at all. So anyway, fingers crossed that they get there sometime soon.
It's going to be in the HomePod.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Insert hand here.
Yeah, insert
perfect.
Hand.
We actually have we'll talk about the HomePod here in just a second. I was kind of disappointed to hear that. Now, speaking of new stuff for the Apple Watch, we've got a couple of patents here that happened over the break. So the first one here from Patently Apple is Apple filed a pair of new trademarks for support devices that connect to Apple Watch. Okay, so obviously they're looking at, and this may be one, maybe it's a glucose thing that connects to your Apple Watch as a separate device, but they've created these, what do you want to call them? It's like, they're not badges, but it's kind of like made for Apple official things. One says connect to Apple Watch, another says connects to Apple Watch, and they have the little running man symbol. One is green and one is not. But they're trademarking these, which means they're going to have some sort of system in place for devices that are approved to connect to the Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And mostly a gym equipment first, you think?
Things like that. But it could be anything, medical, all kinds of medical stuff, right?
That's true.
So
the logos are kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's your basic Apple approved device type thing. Like when you buy a charger and it has the puck already built in, they have made for Apple Watch logo official thing. It's that kind of thing.
Right.
So
it's a good thing. I mean, you know, like at the top of the show, we were talking about installing apps or using devices that are meant for Apple. It's pretty important to have a certification program or some sort of badging to let you know that you're not putting some third-party apps in there that could be compromised. So, good stuff.
Yeah, that way you feel better about it if you purchase the device,
right,
knowing that this is Apple approved, right?
Yeah.
You know, certain testing and things have gone through. And then the other thing that comes through Patently Apple is, and this got a lot of play in the press, Apple invents a wireless power transfer system and with unique optimum power scheduling and more. Now, we touched on this a while back about Apple filing for a patent to kind of monitor or schedule the amount of power a device gets from a conductive deal. And that I think was related to the, what's it called? The power pad thing coming soon.
Yes.
Power, is it called power pad?
Air power.
Air power?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that device will charge your phone, your watch, and your AirPods just by setting them on this device. Well, each of those things charges at a different rate, different wattage, you know, all kinds of things to control there. But this new patent is very interesting because it says a user will be able to set up wireless power transfers in a particular order, such as setting up a system so that your iPhone gets power first, followed by your watch, then et cetera, et cetera. They say this patent, they note that the invention covers a system that may have a power adapter with multiple ports for supplying power to respective electronic devices. The devices may include cellular telephones, wristwatch devices, laptop computers, and tablet computers. The power adapter may supply power to the electronic devices using wired link and wireless links. So the second patent talks about transmitting power wirelessly to a receiver.
Mm.
So now we're talking about true, am I reading this right? We're not talking
wireless.
About
wireless. Yeah, I don't know what the distance is.
But it wouldn't have to be much because it would remove all cables off your desk.
Mm-hmm.
It sits under the desk, sends the power to this little pad that just sits on your desk, is the way I'm imagining it. And it's just, it's kind of magical if you don't know where the sending part is, right? Yeah. I mean, you could hide all that stuff and no one would see it and you just set stuff down and they charge. That's sci-fi, right? We see that in lots of sci-fi movies, things like that.
Well, they still have batteries in the future?
Somehow. I don't know. All the devices seem to be clear, right? Yeah. The screens are these pieces of glass.
All right.
Have y'all ever watched that Netflix show Black Mirror?
I try to catch it. It's kind of creepy at times, but yeah. I've watched it.
Yeah, and there's a number of times where the devices they have are just totally clear, right? But you can still read them and see them. Like, how does that work? But apparently in the future, that's what we're going to have is clear devices. So if you had that on your watch, you'd see your skin, right? If you had a clear glass thing on your watch, you wouldn't be able to see anything. That's just weird. That's very strange. Anyway, that's what we're looking forward to. But this is the first time I've seen them talk about true wireless power.
Mm-hmm.
That could be big.
It would be if the infrastructure can grow fast enough and you can, as Vincent said, the distance will mean everything.
Right, because I'm sure Johnny Ive is looking at this new AirPower pad, whatever you want to call it, right? And he's like, it's great, but like, there's still a cable. I can still see a cable on the desk. So he's trying to figure out a way to get rid of that cable, right? They want it as clean as possible, and that makes sense.
Well, someday, Tom, if I can go into a Hilton hotel, you know, after a long day of work and travel and throw my bag down, set my watch down, set my phone down, set my iPad down, and open my Mac, and no cables, then we're there.
Yeah.
And it just powers, you know, maybe you have to be near a transmitter, which is no problem. Put it in the nightstand, and then you can make it work.
Well, the hotels would come with them, right?
Yeah, yeah. When you walk into the hotel, you start getting powered up. How's that?
Ah, that'd be awesome. And yeah. And as soon as you unlock your door, you give it permission to charge your device.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Yeah.
Someday I'll take a picture of my hotel room and the cords and you can put on Facebook. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it becomes quite a bit. And by the way, I'm going to sidetrack here real quick. I had mentioned earlier on the show this device called a bento box.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah, you did.
Which was meant to organize all those cables and plugs and things. And I'm waiting for this was like an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter project. Anyway, it was shipping in December, and I'm like, oh, this is great. And I actually got an extra one for my wife as a gift. It comes in, you know, rose gold. It'll match all the stuff. It's really cool. We're going to be traveling. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I get the notification of shipping, and I'm tracking it, and nothing is happening from Hong Kong. It, like, sat in Hong Kong for a week and a half. And I contacted him. He says, I'm sorry. Well, he goes, I'll tell you what, we're going to send another one out to you. He goes, if you get both of them, just keep them. And I'm like, great. So I track that one, and nothing is happening. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So I'm thinking, now I'm not even going to get it for the trip, right? We're leaving in a couple of days. It showed up in my mailbox yesterday.
No kidding.
Yes.
Just one of them?
So the tracking was completely useless. So I don't know if I'm going to receive another two or not, but I got the first ones, and they are cool. They are way cool. I'm going to review these on the show when I've had a little time with them. But they're super cool because you can stack them up, and you can put in just what you need. It's got room in there for watch bands. It's got room for your Apple Pencil, all your cables. It's got for your little power bricks. All that stuff can be organized in this little box that's held with a rubber band. It sounds silly, a rubber band. It's this nice, thick band, elastic that you put over it. Anyway, just got them. I'll try them out on this trip. But you mentioned all the cables and where. Yeah, it's insane what you have to take with you just to go on a trip. I mean, just to charge your watch and your phone and your laptop and your iPads and.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, and the cables break down over time, which is very annoying.
Oh, I had you know the little adapter that comes with your iPhone 10?
Uh-huh.
Mine doesn't work.
What?
It worked initially, and then I went nuts trying to figure out why I wasn't getting audio. And I ended up switching it out with when I bought a bunch of them on Amazon because I knew I was going to lose them. And it worked fine. So I took that one and took it into another car, my other vehicle, and tried it, and it didn't work. So that cable is bad. From Apple. The one that came from Apple is just, it lasted like once.
It's really a little flimsy. Yeah.
It's a lot flimsy, yeah. So anyway, sorry I diverted us from, and by the way, wasn't all this.
Wireless power.
Wasn't all of this supposed to make our lives easier and less complicated? Why do we, it's impossible to keep up with all this stuff.
It always gets worse before it gets better.
I guess so.
I live by, yeah.
Okay. Or maybe we're just trying to do too much.
Well, you know, it is. When I get to the hotel room, you know, I have to plug everything. And then I have my work laptop, by the way. So I got like five things.
Yeah.
And then every morning I have to pack everything up, and I'm not going to leave cables there because they'll get stolen, you know, maybe. So every day I'm loading, unloading five cables. And sometimes I'm like, I'm just not going to charge this today, which I do sometimes with my watch and things. But any other power mechanism would be fantastic to save that time.
By the way, quick tip. Okay, for anybody with any electronic device that has a lithium ion battery, because we were talking about batteries earlier, they are meant to be discharged.
All the way?
Not completely, not like dead. That's bad.
Okay.
But run them down to like 10%. If you continually top them off, you're going to shorten the life of that battery severely. Yeah, so if you charge every night, which I'm guilty of doing, it's not actually good for the life of the battery, which I wasn't aware of. You know, I know you can't overcharge them, right? There's things and mechanisms in place to prevent that.
I thought it really depended on the charger that you're using, but like the Apple ones will know and shut it down, that kind of thing.
They will, but you're still damaging the battery because it needs a full cycle.
Sure.
Right? And it only has so many in its life. And the shorter ones you do, I think, degrade it faster. Is all I'm saying. And that's why these devices kind of wear out after 2 or 3 years, right? Depends on usage. But anyway, quick tip. They kind of don't always run them plugged in and fully charged. Let them wear down.
Yeah, I've heard that, Tom. And I think for the most part, I do that except for my phone. You know, I think I keep that way too charged. But everything else I kind of let wind down pretty well.
Good. Yeah. I mean, it's just if you want to get some life out of it. I mean, if you don't care and you want to replace them every year, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's see. What else is going on? Apple's developing an advanced heart monitor for the Apple Watch. Apparently, there's a prototype floating around Cupertino. There's a version of the Apple Watch that allows the user to squeeze the frame of the watch with two fingers to send a weak electrical current to the heart to pick up signals. Have you heard about this?
No. That's shocking.
That's shocking. This is wild. So, you know, the currently the Apple Watch can monitor your heart. But, you know, this EKG, if you will, tech would help detect, you know, heartbeat irregularities, all that sort of stuff. Now, we talked about a band that does that recently, but now this would be Apple's. I've never heard this type of implementation of it, that you squeeze the sides of the device itself to create a little shock of some sort that you don't really feel, I would assume. but your heart does. That just sounds dangerous. now that I kind of work through it, that does not sound safe.
That's gonna wear down your battery.
Yeah, what if you suddenly have a battery spike? I mean, holy cow! You yell clear when you touch your watch. yeah, so we'll see where this goes. It's kind of funny, but I don't know. Given the fact that of other rumors of what's going on. With stuff, we may be ways away from that.
Keep an eye on that one.
Yeah. And now you mentioned the HomePod. I had to post this story in our feed here just to bring it up because I chuckled when I first read the headline. Amazon and Google likely lost money on smart mm-hmm. speakers in the run up to the HomePod launch. So Apple was like, psych, we're not releasing this at all. We just wanted you guys to try to beat each other down to the lowest price possible before we come out with it. That's pretty funny. Because you could get like the Amazon Echo Dot was $30.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're not making any money on that. That they're losing money on those completely.
Yeah, the little Google one was about $29 at Best Buy as well.
Yeah, they both met each other at that price because they were assuming Apple was coming out with theirs. Mm-hmm. Apple's like, no, we're not going to do that. but, you know, they didn't really lose money because they're still, you know, gathering data about you and everybody in your house and your pets, mm-hmm. pets mm-hmm. and everything, right? So, yeah, they didn't really lose, but I just thought that was kind of funny. Mm. And that makes you got to wonder, what is Apple going to do here, you know?
Yeah, when I saw those prices, and I wasn't paying much attention, I had to double take when I saw those prices. I thought, wow, that is really good. I should go buy one. I never did, but that was considerably cheap, I thought.
Right, and it's just because they're trying to build up this whole system. But then somebody mentioned, I think it was in the comments or one of these other articles, that at that price, it's kind of easy to throw it away, isn't it, when the HomePod comes out? If it's that cheap.
Yeah, I guess it is. You know, if you think about it that way.
You're not invested in it very much, so.
It's a meal.
Right.
It's a meal with someone, right? You spend $30 and you go out with someone for a meal.
Yeah. And you know, the speakers in them are crap, right? And from what mm-hmm. I hear, everybody who's listened to the HomePod said it's just amazing. I think Apple's problem is they don't know what the HomePod is yet. I mean, is it a AI intelligent device assistant or is it just a really awesome room speaker, you know, mm-hmm. that happens mm-hmm. to have some audio Siri capabilities. And I think that's how they initially were going to launch it. And now, I don't know. We'll see. You know, the thing that gets me about this HomePod, I mean, yeah, it'd be a great, awesome speaker. But if I can't hook that up to my television, mm-hmm. I'm like, I already have a speaker, you know.
Yeah, right.
I already have a Bluetooth speaker in the house, but, you know.
You probably went and bought one of those, speakers that sits under your TV, right, for $200 that really projects the sound. I know I did. And why would I need, you know, if I needed something else, you know, I would buy it. But I agree with you. I just think that it just didn't have much to it. And
it would be, I mean, it'd be cheaper to do something like that, obviously.
Oh, much cheaper, yeah.
If it's not going to do anything else. HomePod. Yeah, if it's not going to do anything else, I mean... Then why bother? And people are also saying mm-hmm. that you can hook up like a cheap Amazon Dot, which has a crappy speaker, to a Sonos system.
Right.
So now you get basically a HomePod. So you know they've allowed the competitors at least to sort of catch up in some way. But anyway, we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I think Amazon and Google lost a little bit of money over the holidays on that. And then just trying to blow through all these stories. I promise we're going to have a few more here. This is an interesting rumor. And I hate to talk about rumors, but oh man, this would be so interesting. Apple acquiring Netflix.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, in the wake of what's recently happened, right, is that Disney bought Fox. Not all of Fox, but their entire movie division, right?
Right.
Last month. Right. Huge, mm-hmm. huge deal. And so original content is now the currency of these companies. And Apple is way behind on that. I mean, way behind. you know, Amazon and Netflix and these companies are just cranking out really great stuff. And Apple is just kind of sitting on the sidelines here, not doing a whole lot. And if they want to jump in, this would be one way, big way to do it. Now
it would. I mean, basically, you run into it in business all the time, right? Make or buy. And this, the infrastructure to do this, to make it, is just incredible. So why not buy it?
Right. I mean, currently, we mentioned before, Apple is committed $1 billion towards creating new shows. But I think that's only going to be a handful of shows. I don't think it's going to be a whole lot.
Yeah, there's so much startup cost just to get a first show done that you can leverage, but you certainly...
Yeah. Now, and we mentioned Netflix spends like $8 or $9 billion in original content every year. So Apple at one is not really a competitor. And, you know, they're saying that this deal, if it went through, would be $50 to $75 billion they would pay.
And they'd pay cash.
Yes. because, you know, there's going to be a one-time allowance to repatriate money stored overseas, right? At a lower tax hit. So that's one way they could bring the money back to the U.S. and put it into action, right? So $50 to $75 billion, although the biggest thing Apple's ever bought was Beats for $3 billion. So to go from $3 to $50 even on the low end, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. It's fun to think about, but I don't know that it would happen.
They go together well. It's like, you know, apple and peanut butter, but I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah. And speaking of Beats, Jimmy Iovine is leaving Apple, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. He's on his way. I read an article about that too. He's on his way out. Yeah. He got the whole thing going back in 2014 and now he's, moving on, I guess.
Cashing out.
Maybe because Apple's not going to focus on music and they'll focus more on this. Who knows?
On health and, health and content.
Yeah, could be. But I think, who's in charge of all of this at Apple? What's his name? Wrinkled shirt guy. Who is it?
Are you saying in charge of the music?
In charge of this entertainment, original content, all that sort of stuff. What's his name? He does the App Store. I'm blanking now.
Yeah, me too.
Kind of goofy guy, comes out. Nobody likes to see him dance. What's his name?
I was just going to say, you mean the salsa guy?
What's his name?
Blanking here.
I'm blanking. Anyway, it's kind of frightening to think that he'd be in charge of this if they did it. So anyway, I'm sure the name will hit me here in a minute. I'm losing my mind. All right, let's plow through this here. Okay, I have to talk about this because it does relate to the Apple Watch, and I posted something on New Year's of the Apple Watch with the time being 2018. I don't know if you guys saw that, but at first I was wondering what time does Apple actually put on the watch, which led me to something I remembered when we first did podcasts about the iPhone and the iPad, and we kind of use the backgrounds of those devices as our logo type thing on the websites. And I discovered that Apple always put the same time on photos of these devices. Mm-hmm. And it was 9:42 on the phone. And do you know the reason why it's 9:42?
Does it make an emoji when you turn it upside down?
No. What'd you say, Vincent?
Is it 9:41 or 9:42?
Well, let me explain. It used to be 9:42. Now it's 9:41. It has to do with 9:42 was the exact time that Steve Jobs announced the iPhone in 2007 on stage. Mm-hmm. So all the photos of the product at the time had that time in it, and they kept it ever since. In 2010, when he released the first iPad, it was at 9:41.
No kidding.
So now they've switched it to 9:41, and you can still see that in the photographs of any Apple devices from Apple.
You think you could have synced up that 1 minute.
I know. Well, the funny thing is it always happened about 40 minutes into a keynote. When it's not they don't do that anymore. But when Steve would do them at about that time, you would expect some big announcement. The Apple Watch, however, is completely different. Traditionally, most watchmakers will set the time on a watch in photographs to 10:10. It's symmetrical, you know, with the hands of the watch, and it doesn't obstruct the logo mm-hmm. on the face, mm-hmm. Which is typically under the 12. The Apple Watch, however, displays 10:09, not 10:10.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty specific.
And nobody knows exactly why. There's two thoughts. One is that it's simply more symmetrical, the 10:10. Mm-hmm. More symmetrical than 10:10, being 10:09, you know, 1009. The other is that Apple did it a minute early to show it's ahead of the curve. Which I don't buy that one, but I don't know, actually know why. If anybody out there does, let me know why Apple sets it to 10:09. Is that the time that it was announced?
Possibly. I mean, if that's tradition, then
if that's tradition, why not? I should probably go back to that keynote in 2015 mm-hmm. or 15. Mm. When Tim Cook announced it. No, he did that at the end, though, didn't he?
Oh yeah, very very much at the end.
Yeah, then I remember, that's not it. Like,
impatiently waiting for this,
because that would be, you know, that'd be 9 minutes into the deal. No, mm-hmm, whatever. Mm-hmm. No, that probably isn't it. But anyway, interesting. Now you know. Not that you didn't, not that you wanted to know, but now you know. And then this last article I also thought was just hysterical. I'd marked this earlier, right after our last show. some teenagers. These two teenagers. This is in Cedar Lake, India, or Indiana. Sorry, not India. Cedar Lake, Indiana. It'd be nice if I could read. They used an app to steal a man's Apple Watch. Then they used the same app to sell it to an undercover officer and got caught. So an officer responded to a call of a robbery, and this guy reported that he had traveled to Cedar Lake to meet someone who intended to buy his Apple Watch, which he had listed for sale on Letgo. When the man arrived to sell the watch, this guy grabbed it out of his hands and ran off. So the officer is very smart. They created a Letgo account and found the watch for sale in the Cedar Lake area. And then they set up a meeting with an undercover officer in plain clothes, went to meet these two guys. They agreed to pay $250 for the stolen watch. So they arrested them, and they gave the watch back to the guy who had it stolen. So now one was 18 and one was 14. Obviously the 14-year-old was just released into his mother's custody. The mm-hmm. other one is, mm-hmm. is pending juvenile charges, but that's not very wow. smart, is it? You use that to steal it and then to use the same thing to sell it? No.
Well, you know, smart criminals never get caught, right?
A radio station in the Southeast, these guys, they're pretty well syndicated. They would do something like, I think it was called Dumb Crook Tricks or something, Dumb Crooks Stories.
Yeah.
This would have made it, right? And you read, you listen to what these people do, and you're like, yeah, they're not that intelligent.
Well, I give them a little slack here. They're 14 and 18 years old.
That's true, too. And they did figure out a process to do something, right? But right. it's not the right one.
But here's another tip. If you're going to sell your Apple Watch, be careful.
Yeah.
Be very careful. I'll tell you what I do when I sell big – the watch, probably I do the same thing. But like if I sell a car or some big item, if you do it on Craigslist or Letgo or one of these places, never, ever have them come to your house. Never, mm-hmm. ever give them your address. What we do is we meet at – it's only like a couple blocks from my house is the local police station, the parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
The police station, they have cameras set up, and they actually tell people that if you were going to do a meet, come there. The police station wants you to do that because they have cameras trained, and there's police officers all around. Both of you feel safe, and you can do the transaction there. So there's a tip for you if you want to sell your Apple Watch. don't just meet up at some random place. not a good idea. And if you're going to steal a watch, don't use the same app to resell it.
How would you unlock it is what I'm trying to understand. I guess you have to reboot the whole thing, right? Wipe it somehow?
Yeah, I guess you would.
I guess maybe the guy was ready to sell it, so he already removed it from iCloud and all that stuff.
He may have. It may have been a completely, ready to go watch.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's another thing. Maybe don't do that.
Yeah, like do that at the very end.
Yeah, at while you're there, do it while you're talking to them. It doesn't take that long.
Right.
All right. I think we've gone through enough stories here, man. But I think we're caught up. We're finally caught up. So that's the good news. All right. Are you guys ready to move? Did I miss anything, by the way? No.
And we're caught up to 2018.
All right. We're caught up. All right. Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast. App reviews.
All right. Time for app reviews and in place of app reviews this week. And I didn't have another musical stinger to play there, so it's a little off. Since it's our first show of the new year, And as we mentioned, we assume that a lot of people have received Apple Watches as gifts recently. So thought it would be a good idea to give out some tips for new users of the Apple Watch. So even if you've had the watch for a while or, you know, you're a longtime listener to the show, some of these may be new for you. You may not.
Yeah, go tell your friends.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of these you may know, some of these you may not, some you may have forgotten, which I regularly do, even though we do the show. When we do a tip show and I run across tips, I'm like, hey, you know, I keep forgetting to do that. I should do that, right? So in any case, we're going to go through some tips. We'll do this kind of round table again, because I think that's kind of the best way to do this. And let me start this off with a pretty basic one. But it's a question that people ask a lot, and that is, how do I take a screenshot of my watch? Right, you get a great medal, or you get some award, or something cool on your watch. You want to take a picture of it, like you do your phone. Well, you can take a screenshot of your watch, and you do that by holding down the digital crown and the side button at the same time. And then you'll hear a click. If you have audio on your watch, you'll hear a click sound, and the screen will flash. Okay, and those images are saved to your camera roll on your iPhone. Now, this is not set up as default. If you have a brand new watch, you need to go to the Apple Watch app on your phone, then go to General, and there you can toggle on and off. It's called Enable Screenshots. So it's very simple to do once you turn it on, and then whenever you need to, you'll be ready to take that image. And I had to do a couple of them the other day. So, I mean, you do them from time to time. You don't do it all the time, but it's nice to have it. When you need to. So That's a quick tip. Vincent, you got something?
Yeah, I mean, when the watch initially came out, it was by default that would take a screenshot.
Mm-hmm.
If you push both buttons on the side, and it's a good thing that they deactivated the default. But as a result of that happening all the time, I eventually flipped my watch around the other way so that the digital crown is actually facing your elbow instead of out to your wrist. And using your thumb to use the to scroll, and I found that to be much easier, because every single time I stuck my hand in my jean pockets or something like that, I take a screenshot and fill up my mm-hmm. photos with all this random times on my watch, which is very interesting. But and not only that, you can I believe that you get better reception from Siri and the mic and everything with the kind of facing outward. On your watch, so you can't go into General and settings and rotate the position of the digital crown and flip the screen around. That is something you cannot do with any other watch, people.
Yeah, it's in the watch app on the phone. If you go to General and you go to watch orientation, and mm-hmm. then you can choose which I guess you change the wrist, or you just change the crown position. Can you do both?
Crown position, yeah. Crown you position. Can do both.
Yeah,
yeah. You wear it on your left hand or right hand.
Okay.
And you change position. Mm-hmm. You can do the whole thing on how it works. And I have worn it this way ever since, and I haven't gone back. And so it does cause some weirdness with some apps when they expect you to swipe in a certain direction or like I think one of the Labyrinth apps or what mm-hmm. the Maze Watch.
Okay, that would screw it up. Yeah,
the orientation is a little weird.
Now I have to ask you. So you, when you wear it that way,
mm-hmm.
Because I tried that, by the way.
Yeah,
I did too,
and I couldn't do it.
You could do it.
I couldn't do it because, every time I would go to scroll with my thumb, I can't see the face of the watch. My hand blocks it. So was I doing it wrong?
I don't know. I just hold the side of the watch and just scroll. I mean, it seems to be okay for me. I hold the watch from the bottom up, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I guess that would work.
Yeah, I tried it for a couple of weeks, and actually I did find it using your thumb to scroll is more effective. I found it there's advantages to it. I just couldn't do it. My mind wouldn't stick with it.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the crown. It's when I went to press the button, I would cover the watch.
Right, the button on the side.
Yeah, because
that's
too
a little
high.
Awkward. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
But I guess you don't do that often.
I don't use that button that much.
Yeah. Okay, either that or you just stop putting your hands in your pocket. And I think that's...
Yeah. That's,
well, okay, that's a good one. All right, Chris, what do you got?
So, Tom, I know most of the time if you take your watch off at night, put it on the nightstand, and you have a phone there, you'll have, when you wake up in the morning, if you're not using it to track your sleep, you put your watch on, you'll type in your passcode, pick up your phone, and, you know, use your thumb or your face to open your phone. So that's, a two-step process. There is a way in the watch app on your phone, if you go into a passcode and just toggle on unlock with iPhone. So you can just put your watch on, you know, the passcode will come up. Just pick up your phone, use your thumb or face, unlock the phone, and your watch unlocks. So if you just enable that unlock with iPhone toggle in the passcode part of the app, you can do two with one.
That is perfect. That was actually the next one I was going to do.
Sorry about that.
No, but that's
great.
I've
got a whole slew of them here.
I do too.
I got some hard ones and some easy ones. I thought I'd start with an easy one.
Yeah, no, that's a great one for a new user to the watch. That weren't, you know, you remember back when I think a listener had actually sent us an email about that. They're like, my watch unlocked and I never punched in the code. And they're like, well, okay. We actually had to figure out why, because it wasn't really a known feature at the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very, very handy to do it. Now I just kind of take it for granted, right? I didn't even think about that.
Right.
I still unlock it on the watch. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay. You still type in your code?
Still plug it in. Yeah.
Okay.
Out of habit.
Oh, habits. Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. If you do it quickly, they made the buttons bigger. So the targets are easier to hit now.
Thank goodness.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I've got one here for, this kind of has to do with not really with unlocking it, but kind of how you use the wrist raise feature. Okay, so you can change what happens when you raise your wrist and look at your watch. So in the Apple Watch settings menu, you can turn on this wrist raise feature. Now, you'll have a couple of options. One is to show on screen raise, you will show the last app. Okay, so whatever app you were using, the next time you raise your wrist, it will be there. Okay, and you can set it to within 2 minutes of the last time you used an app, within an hour, or always. Okay. So when you raise your wrist, you will see that app that you were using moments ago. So that's kind of a nice feature. I don't know if it's turned on by default. I think by default, it's set to the time that you'll see the time on your watch when you look at it, but you can turn this on. And if there's an app that you always use, you're going to use it throughout the day, you can have it up there every time you raise your wrist, which is kind of a neat. It gives it a whole. This is one of those that I forgot about that I should probably use more often. If you find yourself, you know, hitting the crown and scrolling to find an app constantly, the same app, you might want to try this for a while because it will make your life a little bit easier. So that's changing the wrist raise action. Vincent, you got another one?
Yeah, I think this is something that. A lot of Apple Watch users somehow forget. During the holidays, we were always trying to get together and take pictures of big groups. And you're like, oh, yeah, if only I could use my... Yeah, you can't use your watch. You can use it as a viewfinder to take pictures as you set your phone up. Your phone does have to be unlocked and the camera app open. With the new iOS, Watch OS, you can do video now as well. So... Don't forget that your watch is probably the most powerful remote for all your Apple devices. So it's a pretty cool feature to remember to use.
Yeah, we actually did use it over the holidays.
Yeah,
yeah, all the time. I did. I set everybody up with the phone and you know, had it on a tripod. Everybody's there in a little room for me. Mm-hmm. And I get it set up and then jump in and take the picture. And yeah, yep. It's a great way to do it.
Yeah, it works great.
I don't know how else we would have gotten that shot, you know?
Yeah, I typically also use the 3-second delay. Kind of helps you kind of get into position so you're not looking at your watch or...
Oh, no, mm-hmm. Always. Yeah. Yeah, always with the delay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, Chris, what do you got?
I think it's another easy one, but very effective. And we might have mentioned it a couple tips shows ago, but I think it's really to bring it back is how to transfer a call from your watch to your phone, because now that we have the cellular, more people are at least picking up calls. So I had someone ask me the other day, said, hey, I picked up a call on my watch and I didn't know how to do it to my phone. And it's just a simple swipe up and transfer tap. So it's very easy to do. It's very effective. So if you're, you know, you need to take the advantage of having the watch is you don't need to have a full conversation because we've talked about that, but you're going to definitely want to pick up on your watch if your phone's, you know, across the room. And then you can transfer it when you're at your phone. So that's a very good feature to transfer the call from one device to that other.
Yeah, and it's just a swipe up. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That is brilliant the way they mm-hmm. did that to make it so much easier. I've got one here that kind of the opposite of that. Well, maybe not, but you know, if your watch is set to notify you, you know, a ring and sounds, but you're in an environment where that's suddenly not cool, right? And sometimes I forget how loud I have my watch set, right? You can cover the watch face to mute it, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you just cover it, whoops, sorry, I just bumped my microphone trying to cover my watch. I'm trying to do this where you can't see it. But yeah, if you just cover your watch with your hand, it will mute the sounds that are screaming from your watch at times. So it's kind of a mm-hmm. quick way to do that. And I don't think people understand that you can. If you just cover it, it immediately shuts up. Well, not immediately. It takes a second or two, but it's it's faster than fumbling with finding the menu or responding in some way, right?
Right.
It's much, much faster. You can just cover it to mute it, whatever it was doing. So there's a way to muffle your watch. Or muzzle right. it, I guess you would call it.
Muzzle it.
Muzzle your watch. All right.
Yeah, and also, Tom, when you do that, it also you can use your palm of your hand when you do that. It also closes down the screen, shuts down the screen too.
Yes, it does. Yes,
right.
Completely. All right, Vincent.
Yeah, this is kind of just a nod back to one of our listeners who kind of suggested this. He had set all of his different watch faces with different complications. For different times of the day. It's an ingenious way of using the multiple desktops, quote unquote, and faces on the watch to have different functionality when you need it. So what I started doing is I have the Siri watch faces, which is the one I like using the most on a daily basis. But what I did was I took the modular watch face and loaded it up with the complications that I use the most. So the Starbucks app and the Stow card and the weather and all that stuff, it's on a separate watch face that is just one swipe away. So what I do is I swipe right and all the little ones that I need are handy right there. So you set up your own little control panel for the watches for watch apps that you use a lot. So you don't clutter up the dominant one or the one that you use the most, primary one, and then have a secondary one just right to the side.
Yeah, it's one quick swipe and you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. That's a great idea. It's organizing your kind of mm-hmm. lifestyle, if you will, mm-hmm. what you use throughout the day in the most kind of – well, the fact that you can now swipe to get to a new watch face makes that possible. It did not used to be that way, by the way.
Right.
If you're new to the Apple Watch, you think, oh, yeah, of course, that's all you would do is swipe. It used to be a lot more difficult to switch between watch faces. They made it so much easier.
You had to use the button.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, Chris.
So, Tom, I'm going to go back to watch version beta and OS 1, where we all like to do the digital touch.
Okay.
That was something I think a lot of people did when the watch started. I don't think so much today, but it's really neat. So when you're in a message, right, and you want to reply, you have the voice command, you have the emoji, you have scribble, You have the Apple Pay, but you also have the little heart with the fingers, and you touch that, and it takes you into the digital touch. In the upper right, if you hit the little icon there, it gives you the wheel, the color palette. Well, if you put your finger lightly on one of the color palettes, it gives you a complete spectrum of colors, and you can change the color of the color palette. So you can just pick any color that's in the spectrum there and hit done, and you've changed, you know, the color of the spectrum that you want to use for digital touch. So not too many people use digital touch these days, but maybe with some tips and people seeing what it is, and it's a fun thing and cool thing to do, you would use it more. But that's a way to customize the colors you would like to use in your digital touch.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that. I remember us talking about that when it first came out, and I don't think we mentioned it since. And that's kind of the point of this, is we forget how to do certain things in here. And this is another one similar to things that you forget to do, or people don't realize you can do, is I mentioned on the raise wrist to see the last used app. Well, there's another way to do that is, let's say you jump between apps, right? You do this, you do that, whatever, and you want to go back to the previous app quickly that's not launched right now. If you simply double tap the digital crown, it will load the last used app. So that's pretty cool. That's a quick way to get there. People forget that. But before we this last OS update, I used it constantly to go between the Nike Run and my music. Double tapping that crown would get me back to my music controls, you know, is a quick way to do it. But that's something it's super simple. Now, I will say it takes a little practice, because if you do it too quickly, it thinks you're activating Siri by just holding in the crown, and Siri will say, I didn't get that. I don't understand what you're saying. So it takes a little practice, but over time you'll get used to that. So just double tap that crown.
Yep.
All right. Vincent?
I have one that takes a little bit to set up, but it's not the unlock your laptop. But it's the a lot of people don't realize that if you don't have a Series 3 with cellular, you can still use your watch as a phone if it's connected to the Wi-Fi that your phone has been on before. So when you're on a Wi-Fi at work or something like that with your phone, it will transfer to your watch. If you forget your phone somewhere in the car or at home, you can still use your watch and do calling over Wi-Fi. You do have to go through the process of allowing Wi-Fi calling through your carrier and all that stuff that's on your phone. But it's quite a lifesaver when you happen to forget your phone somewhere and you still need to make calls or you need to get iMessages. Your watch will still be able to do that. The little icon, the little Wi-Fi symbol will appear on your control panel to let you know that your watch is connected to the Wi-Fi rather than directly to your phone. So that still works.
Nice. I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something you don't realize if you've got – now, you're still rocking the – Series 0 beta, right?
Yep.
Perfect. See,
pushing it to its limits.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much
smoke on his wrist.
Not sure how much longer you're going to be able to do that, but at least
Well, my wife is using mine right now, my real one, and I'm keeping an eye on it. It'll eventually end on my wrist, right? Exactly.
Well, but you're
that watch.
You're at least cruising into 2018 with it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, it just proves the durability of this thing.
Yeah. You realize we're going on the fourth calendar year of this watch.
Right.
Right? The fourth calendar year of the watch. That's just amazing. All right, Chris, what do you got?
So this one is a little more complicated and a little different. But if you go into the watch app on the phone and hit App Store and then in search, type in watch faces, you get all kinds of results. Like the first one says, Facer watch faces. Then you get Mr. Time watch faces, watch widgets, emojis watch faces. So I just did the first one, and there's probably a list of 20 or 30 here. And what it did allowed me to access a bunch of really cool pictures that you can customize and put on your watch as a custom watch face. In this Facer watches, I downloaded Space, and it downloaded. Now here's the negative part. It downloaded 30 pictures into a album on my phone.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, 30 pictures is quite a bit, but you can delete the ones you don't want. And basically what it does is when you use the make a watch face out of it, it's, you know, every time you look at your watch, it changes pictures just like a slideshow. But there are some really neat watch faces on here if you did that. And you'd probably have to go through and really determine which ones you want to download, which ones you want to look at. And they may all load up a little different. But it does give you an option to, you know, change. Instead of using your own pictures, you can look at a wealth of options out there to customize watch faces with a different set of pictures. And it's kind of neat. It takes a little bit of time because that's a download to your phone, and then you have to create the watch face, and that takes a little time with more than one picture. It has to accumulate and work. But once it works really neat, and it's just a way to, you know, do some more custom pictured watch faces.
Nice. I like that. All right. I think are we done? We have any more? I think we've gone through quite a few here, right?
Yeah, that's a good amount.
Yeah. Okay. We'll save some for another time. I think we do have some listener feedback I want to get to. The show's already long. I know it was going to be long. You guys still good to hang on here for a little while?
Yeah, I've got about 30 minutes, Tom.
Okay. We'll see how quickly we can get through this. Yeah. Moving on.
The Apple Watchcast. Listener feedback.
All right, time for listener feedback. First one here is from Robert in San Diego. It says, "Hi, guys. I just listened to your podcast where you talk about the Apple Recycle program from Apple Watch. I also have a Series 0 42-millimeter stainless steel watch that I recently sold on eBay for $135. For that price, I only included the watch, the original box, and a third-party silicone band. I did not include the 2-meter charging cable, USB charger, or original Melanese loop band. I didn't want to sell the stuff that I could still use with my Series 3 LTE watch. I clearly described what was included and not included in the eBay listing to avoid any misunderstandings. In any case, I was satisfied with the selling price, and I now have an extra charging puck." Robert, thanks for that, Robert. Yeah, we did mention about that Apple will give you something to recycle your Apple Watch. Although with the stainless steel, I think you probably did better at $135. Wasn't it like $75 was all they would give you, or less? Was it less than that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a whole lot. So good deal there. Kind of sad to see the price on that one so low, but because I have that stainless steel watch,
right.
I love it.
Yeah.
But right. I'm like, you know, it was a lot more than that when I bought it. And then Dennis from California. Says, "So the Series 3 watch has a built-in barometer, right? Have you guys seen any watch apps that actually use the watch's barometer and not the barometer in the phone? Seems like a great solution for skiing, altimeters, etc. I haven't found any yet. Hoping you have. Thanks. Love the show. Dennis from California." Thank you for that, Dennis. I am not aware of any, and unfortunately here in Houston we don't do a lot of skiing. So I don't have use for any of those types of apps, but I had to wonder if any of those skiing apps actually use that now. If any listener out there knows, you're listening to the show, send us an email and we'll update everybody on that. Do you guys know of anyone that uses that, any app?
I remember like the trail, the hiking ones might use them.
The barometer?
Right. Okay. In terms of like just going up in an altitude and stuff like that for pressure, but
yeah, but I thought those.
I haven't used any of those.
I thought they were using the one on the phone, but maybe not. I don't know. That's a good question. Thanks for that, Dennis. We'll update you if we do discover one that does. Next here is from Jonathan. It says, "Hey guys, have you seen the release of Minicast? Looks like it might be a promising podcast player for the Apple Watch. Just wondering if any of you have played with it yet. Hope you all have a great holiday season. Thanks for all the hard work this year. Can't wait for what you bring us in 2018. Well, thank you for that, Jonathan. And Minicast, yes. I've not tried it. Have you guys tried it?
I have downloaded it.
You have? Okay.
I have tested it. I can go into the Apple Watch review. I mean, the app review. Later on, but yeah,
okay,
the one that you download is just a trial. You still do have to buy it.
Okay, what is it, like $1 or $2 or something?
It's like $1.99 or something like that.
Yeah. Now, from what I was able to gather, just
$3.99.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just glancing at it, what I was able to determine was it does not work any differently than any of the others, as far as how you download. You have to download it to the app itself, the podcast, right? You still have to wait for it to download. It does not stream it. It does not, you know, it may be a little bit simpler, but it's still not the solution everybody's been waiting for.
That's just what they're trying to do. Simplify the process of getting it to your watch.
Exactly. It's just a little different than maybe some of the others. Which still baffles me that Overcast started this and then they abandoned it. So maybe they'll come back to it. We'll check that out. And hey, tell you what, Jonathan, if you want to do a quick mini review of Minicast, send that to us and we'll add that to Vincent's review. Kind of compare notes there. That'd be kind of fun. And then Jason says, hi, guys. Since the update to iTunes and the removal of the app. Wait, since the update to iTunes, and the removal of the App Store. Oh, yeah, that's right. They did. I've had the problem of not having an easy way to browse for apps on the Apple Watch. The App Store in the Watch app on the iPhone is pretty useless, as all it gives is a few categories and only shows a subset of items in that category. Search is fair, but you still have to have some kind of idea what you're looking for. The standard App Store doesn't have an Apple Watch category. I think iTunes used to have one, and the App Store on the iPad just seems to default to iPad apps. I try to regularly check sites like iOS Snoops, App Advice, and iLounge, but none of them really provide a way to browse apps like the iTunes Store used to do. Do you have any advice, Jason? Great question, Jason. We are suffering the same problem here, which is why we kind of didn't do an app review this week. No, that's not true. That's not true. But it is much harder, you know, to find apps because Apple has, as you said, the one on the phone is pretty useless. I mean, if like I mentioned before, you look at that, you would think there's only a couple of hundred apps max for the watch. Where else do you find them? It's very, very difficult. And, you know, before Apple removed the App Store from iTunes, I had called for them to come up with an actual category for the watch like they do with the iPad. And I think it makes sense that they're defaulting when you're on an iPad to just iPad apps. And there is a way to search for everything when you're there. But, you know, you just got to go into Google and hope you hit something. Right. I mean, that's really the way to do that. There are a few sites like you mentioned, as a few others, but they don't really keep up with them that well. I don't know why. I don't know why Apple's not made more of this. I mean, I heard that Apple on Christmas Day or New Year's Day, was it Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, set a record in app sales. Yes. This year. So the people are buying them. People are using them. You know, it's just we'd love to find a better way to actually search for them and discover them. And I'm sure the developers want that too. So great question there. And then Craig from England, he says, hi, team. I've listened from the start when I wore my Pebble with pride. Okay. Takes you back a while. Thanks for all you do. I bought my Apple Watch Series 0 in August of 2015, and it instantly changed my life. Filling the rings becomes habit forming if you let it, and I let it. With every update, the watch fell behind. Battery life would take a hit and would need to be topped off after an hour workout. Apps like Strava would be slow, buggy, and crash. With watchOS 4.2, most third-party apps would struggle, so I uninstalled everything, and I still loved my watch, but then the workout app would hang on loading for 30 seconds. Not the end of the world, but just frustrating when trying to start a workout. Siri was basically pointless at this point, but still I battled on until my birthday on December 29th. With some Christmas vouchers and a beautifully generous family, I received a Series 3 non-cellular, and oh my word, it's unbelievable. Apps just work. Strava is lightning quick. I got up yesterday at 0700, did a full day in work and two 20-minute bike rides to and from work, and at 0100 bedtime, the battery was at 77%. I thought my AirPods was the best purchase of 2017, but that prize now goes to the watch. I urge anyone with a Series 0 watch to upgrade and pass your Series 0 on to a friend or family member. Thank you once again for everything you do, and I can't wait to listen to you in 2018. Regards, Craig. Well, thank you for the email there, Craig. That's great advice. Pass those down. I mean, it's funny looking back on earlier versions of these devices, like the watch or the phone. They never really seemed that slow at the time, right? When we were using them, but somehow our perception of speed changes as we get faster and faster devices. I mean,
I think when Vincent puts the three back on, he'll see it, right? When we go from watch to watch, you see the incremental. But when you go from a beta to a three, it's a big jump.
It is a big jump. And I keep my stainless steel watch. And when I switch to it, it's like, it's a little painful. I mean, either that or at least I think our patience grows shorter, right?
Yeah.
As devices get faster. So is there a chart somewhere we can plot this, right? So with speed going up and patience getting shorter, I'm sure there's a diagram somewhere. That proves that theory. But yeah, some OS updates make it slower, but I think that's only because the abilities increase, you know, right? And the apps change to take advantage of them. Therefore, the apps become slower. So like I said, we're on our fourth calendar year since the watch first came out. That's an eternity in technology time.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, Craig, that if you have a Series 0 or beta watch, the upgrade to the 3 is like, I don't know, it's like going from one of those old thick 17-inch MacBooks to the new Touch Bar one. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's night and day.
Also, does Craig wake up early every day and then go to bed at 1 o'clock every day?
0100. I guess he's doing military time here.
Yeah.
0100. Yeah.
That's one of the morning, right?
That's a long day.
That's a long day. Yeah. A lot of bike riding. That's about 19 hours to stand, too.
Yeah, that's Craig, you're in great shape. So do either of you pass along your old tech when you get something new?
Yes,
we did.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. It's a great idea. Either that or you can sell it like we were talking about before. And then another one here from Andreas. I think it's Andreas. Dear Tom, Vincent, and Chris, first of all, I wish you and your families and all your listeners a happy new year. As Apple Watch owners, we are always eager for new watch faces. Here is one. It's provided by the gorgeous Atomic Clock app by Georgie Timing. The iPhone app has been around for many years and is now available for the Apple Watch. If you let your watch open to the most recently used app at wrist raise, like I mentioned as a tip, you have a new watch face. In the iPhone app, there are many settings, like for colors and all that sort of stuff. Most of them apply to the watch app, except for the one for the seconds. There's a separate section for the Apple Watch settings if you scroll down. I like it. Hope you do too. And it's a special thanks to Marcus Gommel for this great app. Best regards, Andreas from Germany. Well, thank you for that, Andreas. And I looked at it online. I haven't downloaded it yet. I think it's just a couple of bucks. It's a really cool app. I'd love to review it in the future, but that's an awesome concept that if you simply set your watch to the last used app always, if you raise your wrist, you have a whole new watch face. That is pretty cool. Other developers take advantage of that loophole to create new watch faces for the Apple Watch, right? Why not? It's simply an atomic clock is all it is. And I'm surprised it got through Apple, because it does kind of duplicate what they do, but... in any case. And then one more real quick one here from Jason says, I wanted to get clarification on an Apple Watch feature that you mentioned on your podcast that contradicts what Apple support informed me when I inquired. He said, you mentioned that custom radio stations created on the Mac or the phone show up in the radio app on your watch. I could not duplicate this on my Series 3. All devices on the latest software. So I inquired from Apple support, and then he actually forwarded the transcript to the email. He said the short answer is that they said custom stations will not show up on the watch. I'm curious how you achieved it on your watch. Not sure if you found a loophole or simply misspoke, but I'm bummed I can't see them on my watch. I'm sure other Apple Watchcast listeners would like to know as well. Thanks, Jason. Well, I had a couple of email exchanges with Jason back and forth, and I actually did some screenshots to show him. I have those custom stations, which are ones where when you listen to a song, you can create a station based on that song. I have them on my watch. They only show up in the most recent listen to section. When you flip through, they if you select stations on your watch, you won't see them. It's only before. And if you listen to them on the Mac or you listen to them on your phone, then they will pop up on the watch as the most recently listened to ones. I don't know why that's the limitation, but that's what it is. He still cannot get it to work. He's on the latest version of everything. And that's why I asked you, Chris, to try that. I don't know if you had time to.
I haven't, but I will make an effort to see Tom. And Vincent, have you done it? Oh, no, you don't have the...
There you go.
Yeah. He does not have the latest one. It only works with the Series 3.
Sorry about that.
And that's another big tip here, by the way. And another,
I'll make an effort to try today, Tom.
I had another listener to talk about this, too, and I may have misspoke when I did the review of the radio app. It is only for the watch, Apple Watch Series 3. And let me just make sure everybody understands that. If you have a new watch and it's not a Series 3, the radio app is not available to you. You cannot use it. I don't know why Apple's doing this, because if you have Wi-Fi, you should be able to stream radio, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but that's the way it is. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on here. Apple gave him bad information because you can see them. I don't know what I'm doing that's different. If there's a setting, I looked. So if anybody out there is having a similar problem that Jason has, or you've been able to do it like I have, and maybe you know what's going on, send us an email at applewatchcast.com, comments at applewatchcast.com, and we will definitely follow up with that. So thank you for that, Jason. And also then thank you to everybody for all your emails and comments. We love getting them and answering them here on the show. And especially those audio comments, keep those coming. Like I said before, it's very easy to do. Just record your question using Just Press Record if you want to do it on your Apple Watch. It's a very simple way to do it. Email us the file at comments@applewatchcast.com and we'll play it here on the show so you can hear your voice here on the show. So anything else before we close the rings on this first episode of 2018?
Nope, I'm good.
Nope. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Select whatever level you'd like to subscribe to for as little as a dollar, and you get some really cool stuff for subscribing. It doesn't cost a lot and helps us to continue to produce the show. That's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on the show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in iTunes, and don't forget to post a review there while you're there at in iTunes. We'd love to hear from you there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com, and we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
And that may be our longest show ever.
Wow.